With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etoria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John is the great forerunner of Messiah. John was born before the Messiah, and yet he says, "I am not worthy to untie his sandal because he is before me." And he is before John because John knows the truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the splendor of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And John goes and says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." And how does John proclaim it? With a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's baptism predates Jesus' command to go and baptize by proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. And that is how he tells the people of Israel to prepare for the coming of the one who is the Lamb of God, the one to whom he points, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." John was at a time when there was messianic fervor among the people of Israel because they were oppressed. And they looked back to that time that Baruch tells us about in our first reading, a time when the Babylonians had taken the whole house of Israel to Babylon, to present-day Iraq, where the wealthiest people of the Jews, the merchants, the cloth makers, the jewelers, the goldsmiths, the silversmiths, all those who knew how to do things, those who were foremen who knew how to build things. The Babylonians didn't take people that didn't know what to do. They took all the people from Jerusalem who did know how to do things. But the people had forgotten something as they grew in wealth. The people got soft. The people gave way on major points of their own religion. They got caught up in idolatry. They worshiped other gods alongside of their own God, great God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And they took on false gods. They had false gods, little statues in their homes. And they trusted in foreign deities. They were punished for their sins. The Babylonians came in 690 BC and ramrodded the wall of Jerusalem and dragged away all the people. The king was allowed to see all of his sons slaughtered before his eyes before he was blinded by the king of Babylon. The people knew that suffering, and every time they were invaded, there was great fear that it would happen again. But you know, the experience in Babylon was the greatest experience for the people because by having 70 years to think and think and think and pray, they discovered that their Lord God had not abandoned them. They had abandoned their Lord God. But by the fervent prayers of their people, by the priests writing down what the Lord had said to them, they compiled what we have as our Old Testament, the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. Isn't it a wonder that in 70 years their religion was not snuffed out by the Babylonians? It really is. But that was all by the grace of God, that there were people among them who were good people, who were devout people, good people such as you all, good people who came to the services in the temple, who come to the services in the church. We are called during Advent to have a great deal of joy. We've prepared. We have gotten ready. People were Christmas shopping months ago, but that's not what Advent is all about. Advent is the coming of the Lord in his various ways. We know that he comes to Bethlehem on the 25th of December in that year so long ago. But we also know that he comes to us as our Savior at the end of time, and we look for him, just as the Jewish people looked for their Messiah and still look. When we see him together in all of his manifest glory, the Jews and the Christians will see one and the same God, our Lord Jesus Christ, upon the throne of majesty, coming down from heaven. But on a daily basis, our Lord Jesus comes to us. And this very day, he will come to you and to me as we offer up the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when he turns ordinary bread and wine into his body and blood. And as we share in that sacrament, this holy thing, this holy meal, we are transformed day by day, week by week, more and more into the body and blood of Christ. We don't have to go mourning anymore for Zion. Zion is here. The kingdom is here. As Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has approached you. He approaches you every time you come to the sacraments, when you baptize your little ones in the saving waters of baptism, when you come for forgiveness and mercy from the Lord in the sacrament of penance, when you come to receive his body and blood, as you are confirmed in the Lord by the Holy Spirit, as your sick are anointed, as your priests are consecrated, and as many of you enter into the sacrament of holy matrimony. All of those graces, those sacraments, come to you and come to me from the Lord. The Lord is giving us great joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. We are his holy people. Sometimes we might feel like that remnant in Babylon because we are surrounded by a world which doesn't get it. And they tell us that we don't get it. So we're at an impasse. But if we are strong, if we have courage, if we have faith, hope, and love, if we have perseverance, we will one day see the glory of the Lord, who revealed himself in a little child. So as we proceed through this Advent season, and as we anticipate the coming of the Lord, let us just have joyful hearts. We have a nice sunny day for a change, something that's quite unusual. Someone said to me earlier today that we only have 50 of these days in Northwest Pennsylvania every year. I'm not sure that he's wrong. It's been pretty gloomy out there. But don't you feel better when it's sunny, when you see a candle flicker? It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing, and it's a gift from the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. all flesh shall see the salvation of our God.